We are going to be continuing the series of sermons today on living a balanced life. We've looked at adjusting our lives, and we know that we need to have an attitude check. We need to have decisions and good decisions, because the decisions determine our direction, and direction determines our destination. We also know that the J always stood for Jesus, because Jesus is the center of everything we do. The U stood for understanding our situation. The S stood for submitting to authority, and the T stands for trusting in God. We need to adjust our lives. Need to adjust our lives to what God is doing, to what God is doing in our community and in our church. We have been looking at living a balanced life, realizing that we need to have balance in our life, first of all, spiritually. Secondly, we need to have relational balance. We need to have financial balance. We need to have physical balance and emotional balance. And as we've been looking at spiritual balance, we know that we need to truly live with purpose. We need to live the dream that God's given us. We need to live freely, not letting the pain of our past become the destiny of our future. And we need to live intentionally doing things to develop us spiritually, because our spiritual balance is the bedrock of the rest of our lives. Everything else can change, but everything rests on our spiritual balance. When we looked at relational balance, we've seen that we need to live selflessly, we need to live lovingly, we need to live connecting, and we need to live serving. Well, we've been recently looking at financial balance. And that financial balance means that we need to live wisely and responsibly and generously. Today we're going to talk about living indelibly. I always email the sermon notes to Kathy so that she can do the sermon notes on her iPad instead of writing them down. That way she's got a digital copy of the message. And she says to me, "What's indelible? What's indelible?" See, I truly believe that people are the ones that make up a legacy. It's not our jobs. It's not our social standing that makes a legacy. It is the people that make a legacy, and a legacy is not easily erased or removed. It is indelible. It is permanent. Why would we ever want to live our lives in such a way that when we're dead and gone, our life is easily forgotten? Do any of us want to live our lives in that manner, in that way, so that when we live, just a few short years after that, no one even remembers our name? No one remembers what we did. I believe it should be the goal of every individual to try to live their lives in such a way that they leave an indelible mark in the kingdom of God. An indelible mark in people's lives so that they can look back and say, "Do you remember so-and-so? Do you remember how they worked in VBS? Do you remember how they worked at the yard sales? Do you remember how they taught Sunday school? What an impact they had on my life. They made an indelible mark in my life that would last for generations." The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. That was his indelible mark. He wept because of God's people. He wept because of the heart that God had placed in his life. He wept because he saw God's people and he saw God and the vast chasm that was between the two. He wept. And many of the things that he said, matter of fact, all of the prophecies that he foretold came true. In the 29th chapter, he's talking to God's people about God. He's trying to share with God's people the heart of God towards them. And he says in the 11th verse of chapter 29, and we're going to read that, so I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and we can insert the word prosperity. Thoughts of peace and prosperity, and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to give you an expected hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you give us the ability to live a life that is indelible, a life that is permanent, a life that is marked by your almighty hand. And Father, today we pray for each one that is praying regarding working at Vacation Bible School. We pray that this year, even though it is a challenge, we pray that this would be the greatest year, the greatest outcome, the greatest outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this place as we reach into this community for your kingdom's purpose. And Father, we thank you that you desire for each one of us to leave an indelible mark in the lives that we touch, because you have so left that mark in each one of our lives. So, Father, help us to see this day your heart, and help us to see how our lives need to be adjusted so that we can live a life that's indelible. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The prophet Isaiah was talking and sharing with the people the voice of God, and how God desired them to know all that was going to take place in the future, and that there was coming a man, there was coming one that would have an indelible mark in all of society, in all of history, and that those indelible marks would be there not just for his life, but for all of eternity. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. He says, look unto me. Whoops, I went one page too far. Sorry about that. Behold, I have graven thee into the palms of my hands. I have literally carved you into the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The walls are the petitions of God's people. He says, I love you so much. This is the indelible mark in my hands. A sign of my love for you. The sign that I would be the sacrifice for you. For your life. And for all of eternity. It has been graven into my hands. Whenever we look at a portfolio, we normally think of a financial portfolio, amen? That's what we think of. We think of money, How much money do we have in our portfolio? We think of investment portfolios. We think of real estate portfolios. There are many different kinds of portfolios. So what is the most important portfolio you can have? I would dare say the most important portfolio is our life portfolio. What difference have you made in someone's life? What indelible mark have you left in their lives? See, if we truly believe that God wants to use us to touch other people's lives, to touch our families' lives, to touch our church members' lives, to touch the lives of those that we work with, that we would truly have an eternal significance by leaving an indelible mark in their lives. A life portfolio will not grow if our lives are out of balance. Did you hear what I said? Our life portfolio will not grow if our balance in our lives are out of balance, if we're unbalanced spiritually, if we're unbalanced relationally, if we're unbalanced financially, if we're unbalanced physically, if we're unbalanced emotionally. Our life portfolio will not grow. And many times, we try to grow, and we do different things, and we grow a little bit, and we try something else, and we grow a little bit more. But many times, there are things that hinder us from growing to the place that God has reserved for us. We live beneath our privileges. We are children of the King, amen? We are bought with a price. Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died that we would have eternal life. And for us to live our lives unto ourselves and to be unbalanced spiritually, relationally, financially, physically, and emotionally, for us to be unbalanced is to not be in the place that God wants us. And there are things in our lives that hinder us from being there. And if we simply stop and pause and begin to evaluate and allow God to evaluate and to speak to us, He can help us so that we can grow into the individuals that He has created us to be. Now, in order to do that, first of all, we need to identify and remove barriers. Identify and remove barriers. There are things that hinder us from being where God wants us to be, from walking the path that God has chosen for us. And one of the first things that we need to identify is the fact of an unprioritized life. An unprioritized life. What is standing in your way? What is keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be? What is keeping you from being balanced in your life? Many times it's an unprioritized life. And the life that is unprioritized is chaotic. It leads to dysfunction. And because it's chaotic and leads to dysfunction, you lose the privilege of living a life and making a mark in someone's life that will last forever. We live unprioritized lives. So I'm going to, in a nutshell, give you what our priority should be. And the first priority is this: your walk with Jesus Christ daily. That should be your number one walk, your number one priority. As Jesus was speaking and sharing the greatest sermon that's ever been preached from the Sermon on the Mount, he was telling the people what God expected. He was telling the people what adjustments they need to make in their lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Notice what he said. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Your personal walk with Jesus Christ has to be number one. That should get an amen from everybody in the crowd. Your personal walk with Jesus Christ has to be number one. It can't be down the list. Because if it's down the list, your spiritual balance is offset. Your personal walk with Jesus Christ daily has to be the first priority. And I'm talking both of devotion time and study time. Now, many times people will spend 15, 20, maybe a half an hour in devotion, maybe more, and that's great. But then sometimes they leave the study away, apart, because they count that time in devotion as study time, and it's not. Study time is study time. Study time is to understand and apply what God is saying through His Word, and understanding it and researching it and looking at different commentaries, looking at different words, looking at sentence structure, looking and understanding totally what that verse means to me today. Because what it means to me last year is not the same that it means to me today. Your personal walk with Jesus Christ has to be number one. Secondly, your family needs to be number two. Now, there are several subsets off of that. Your family should be number one, spouse; number two, children; number three, grandchildren; number four, extended family. Spouse should be number one in family. Guess what? You married them till death do you part. Amen? That's a vow that you made to God. You did not marry your children, nor your grandchildren. That's why spouse, children, grandchildren, extended family should be in that order of priority. So family is number two. And it's very important that it is at the number two place, because it is the family that the church is built upon. It is the family that all of society is built upon. It is the family that our government is built upon. Everything is built upon the family, but the family has to be built on God. And that's why our personal walk with Jesus Christ daily has to be number one. Family is number two. Guess what's number three? The local church. Your local church. The local church is where you come to be fed. It's where you come to congregate and to communicate with other believers. It's where you come to be joined with other believers in mission work and in ministry. The local church is the body that God works through. It's the body of Christ. The local church is important. And that's why it should be the third priority. Now, it can't be number one. And many times, people will take the local church and put it up there as number one, taking the place of God. And that's not right. It cannot be right. The body cannot be above the head. The head has to be over the body. So, your personal walk with Jesus Christ daily, your family, your local church. Number four, your job and career. Your job and career. God has you where He wants you. If you're retired, you've already fulfilled that. But if you have not retired, your job and career are very important to God. That's why He has you where He has you, so that He can use you there in that place so that they can see the love of God and they can see how a child of God goes through life, experiencing all that life has to offer. Your job and career is very, very important. And God wants you to be successful. Because when you are successful, it is a good light on Him. And when things don't go right, and you don't go to pieces, people see that. That's why, as pastor, sorry, you're number four. God one, family two, all right, local church three, job four. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the fifth thing is your recreation. Notice that recreation has the same word as creation. It's actually re-creation. Your recreation is important to God. That's where you relax. That's where you experience new things. That's where you are able to create new things for you to experience. And you're able to build things and just experience the goodness of God as you recreate. But what happens to the person that has an unprioritized life? When recreation moves above the job, well, pretty soon, you're gone boating more than you're working, so you lose your job. Oh, my. Well, I'm good with recreation, though, right? I'm good. And then you move recreation in front of the local church. Oh, well, it really doesn't matter, right? And you move recreation in front of family, and pretty soon recreation in front of your personal walk with the Lord. But you're doing just fine with recreation, right? Yep. Thank you, Mo. Today, going out to the pickup, I parked out on the street, walking down the sidewalk. The neighbors across the street are out mowing the yard. Sitting in my office, going over my message. The guy across the street here is mowing his yard. And then I hear the... He's weed-eating. And then pretty soon I hear this... He's blowing his weeds. What kind of a legacy are they leaving for their children? What kind of an indelible mark are they leaving for their family? They're teaching their children that God is not important. And when problems come into their lives, they have nothing to hang on to. They have nothing to fall back on. Society starts to crumble. The family starts to crumble. And that's the situation our nation is in today. Because of unprioritized lives. The second thing. We got a long way to go in about 10 minutes, don't we? God, when the preacher does work, he just works too long. An undisciplined life. When you know what your priority should be, but yet you're inconsistent. That inconsistency shows a lack of discipline. Discipline is important. It does not mean that you're not flexible. Discipline simply means these are my priorities and I'm going to make sure that I keep them in that order. That's what discipline's all about. A person that is not disciplined, pretty soon their credibility is sacrificed. And because their credibility is sacrificed, when they say that they're going to do something and then they don't do it, it's because they're not disciplined. And when you do that, you sacrifice the privilege of living a life and making an indelible mark in the lives of people that know you. An undisciplined life unravels the entire garment until all you're left with is a pile of thread. Fourthly, a shackled life. A shackled life is a life that is hindered by dysfunction, and you are so shackled and bound by it, you cannot get where God wants you to get. Can't get there. Shackled, bound by the past. As Jesus was teaching in John chapter 8, verse 32, you all know this, and you shall know the truth, and notice this, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. Make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are shackled by our past. I'm sorry about this. I'll get that fixed. That little thing, the wind thing. We're shackled by our past. Our past dysfunction. Our dysfunctional relationships. Being in a relationship and having it go awry. Many times in relationships, the reason why the relationships go awry is because of the lack of discipline and the lack of having proper priorities. And because the priorities are out of whack and there's no discipline, the relationships suffer, and pretty soon they break. And that shackles us. We're bound. See, God does not want us bound. That's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Many times, the dysfunction in our finances creates debt. And because we're in debt, we can't do the things that God wants because we don't have the freedom now to do those things because we've got all this debt. We've got all this debt to take care of. And because we're taking care of those things because of the bad financial decisions we've made, we're shackled. And we're bound, and we cannot break free and get to the place that God has reserved for us. Not only is a shackled life something that is a barrier, but a limited life. Fourthly, if all you can imagine is what you can see, if that is all you can imagine, you are limiting your future. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Kathy and I were talking about this last night. It says, now unto him that is able, there's that word. Now unto him that is able, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. If we are limited and our vision is only what we can see, we're limiting our future. But if we will truly allow our vision to be that which is above and beyond, we will get to experience some God-sized things. And we will see that God is able to do those things if we will simply allow it. But we truly need to identify and remove the barriers. Now, quickly, I'm going to give you six things. This would have been a better message to have two messages on, okay? Six ways to leave an indelible mark. First of all, a unique godliness. A unique godliness. Things that you can do to be known as godly character and to have godliness in your lives. We went to a play Friday night for Addison in Troy at First Baptist Church, Maryville. Addison was in the play Sound of Music. Now I've got the Sound of Music going in my head all the time. The hills are alive. No, we're not going to do the rendition, okay? Don't have time for it. She was one of the children. All of the family was there. Amanda's parents were there. Nathan's parents were there. Nathan's sibling was there with the four grandkids. And Amanda's sibling was there with her two kids. And grandparents were there. Charles and Betty were there. One of the things that I always continually watch and notice is Charles. Charles is unique. Charles has a unique godliness to him. He's a quiet man. He has a quiet spirit. When everybody else is rushing in, he will just kind of move slowly and walk in. It's not important that everybody wanted an aisle seat, and he'll just slowly walk to the center of the pew and sit down. And when everybody's pushing and hustle bustle and giving flowers to the kids that were in the play and taking pictures and everything, Charles is just standing there enjoying the fact that his great-granddaughter was in the play. A unique godliness. That's something that leaves an indelible mark. We all know individuals in our families and in our church family that we can say, hey, do you remember so-and-so? Remember how great they were? Remember what they used to do? Remember how they used to teach and what they used to do back in the kitchen and how they used to visit? Boy, if I could just be like them. If I could just have a part of Charles's soul. He's got this godly-sized godliness. This huge mountain of godliness in his life. And he's only 5'8". He has nothing to prove. He's just a godly man. Unique godliness will leave an indelible mark. Secondly, godly children. We need to model that godliness to our children. When we model that godliness to our children, they see God working in our lives, and we are able to then make sure that they are walking the path that God has chosen for them. Doesn't have to be our path, but it should be the path that God has chosen for them. To make sure that they are walking that path, that they too have the right priorities, so that they can be pleasing to God, so that they can have a balanced life. Godly children. You know, living in this world is like walking through a minefield. If you don't have the mind sensor sweeping before you as you walk, chances are you're going to step on a mine. And when you do, catastrophe is going to take place. And if you want your children to be safe, guess where they need to walk? They need to walk right behind you. And eventually, they'll have their own minesweeper. Their priorities, making sure they're doing the right things, the right way. Godly children. Thirdly, an inheritance to your grandchildren. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children, for his children's children. That requires a practice. That requires a model. To model integrity. To have integrity so that your yes is yes and your no is no. So that when you say, this is what I'm going to do, that's what you end up doing. That's integrity. So that people know they can count on you. Being a person of integrity is something that you pass on, not only to your children, but to your children's children. So that they know. When Papa says he's going to come and do something, he comes and does it. Not maybe. Another thing is faithfulness. To be faithful to God's church, to be faithful to God, to be faithful to God's people, to be faithful to the community, to be faithful to your family. Faithfulness comes from a life of discipline. A life that is prioritized. The ability to make sound and wise decisions. There are three words that I give my grandkids habitually. After they do some play or something of this nature, like Addison did, Friday night, there's a whole bunch of people around, but I grabbed Addison, and I told her how proud I was of her, and I said three words to her. Do you know what those three words were? Same three words I always say to her. Guard your heart. Don't let it get puffed up. It's not about you. It's about him. Guard your heart. An inheritance for your children's children. The ability to make sound and wise decisions using the seven C's. Does anybody remember them? Everybody's going, what message was that? Conviction within, circumstances without, common sense. The first three all deal with us. Again, convictions within, circumstances without, common sense. The fourth one, counsel of others. That's the bridge. And then the next three are with God. Confirmation of Scripture. Center of God's will. Commitment of faith. You need to have those things rock solid so that you can make solid decisions, wise decisions every time. And when you teach your children and you teach your grandchildren, guess what? You will be leaving an indelible mark in their lives so that they too can make sound and wise decisions. Fourthly, praying for others. That doesn't sound like much, but it is. Praying for others. I am a recipient of God's blessings because of your prayer. I am a recipient of God's showers of blessings into my life because of your prayers. I pray for you. I've been praying that God will revive His church and that our nation will become revived once again, and that we'll have a great awakening take place in America. Has it happened yet? No, not yet. And people will say, aren't you disappointed that it hasn't happened yet? No, I'm not, because God knows best. But I still pray. I pray for our nation. I pray for our church. I pray for our denomination. I pray for my family. And yes, I pray for me. But praying for others is a way that you leave an indelible mark. When somebody has been going through a trying time, to have someone else come and put their arm around you and say, hey, I've been praying for you. I told Dwayne, I said, you need to quit limping. I've been praying for your sciatic nerve. So if you're limping, you're negating my prayer, so stop limping. Get well. I'm praying for you. He just smiled. Praying for others. Fifthly, invest in the next generation. I'll tell you what, it fires me up when I go to a conference and there's a young pastor there that's just starting out, or maybe they've been pastoring for a couple years. Sometimes they are so naive. And it blesses my heart to invest in them. And when I invest in them, there's something that happens inside of me. I get renewed. I hear myself encouraging them, and the words are bouncing off of them and coming back on me. And I am so blessed when I invest in the next generation. Why is that important? Well, it's the next generation that's going to be making an indelible mark. And if you invest in them, you're investing in an entire generation and generation to come. Lastly, leave money upon your death. Leave money upon your death. Kathy and I, for most of our married life, have tithed. Two things that just boggle my mind. The first thing is the amount that we give, the amount that we give over and above our tithe even, and the amount that God blesses us back. You know what? God's shovel is always bigger than mine. God's shovel is always bigger than mine. So when you leave money upon your death, first of all, you leave it to your family, your children and grandchildren. Secondly, you leave it to the local church. You don't give it to the church instead of the family, okay? You have to take care of family. A man that will not take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So you take care of your family, you give some to the church, and then you give it to missions. There's a lot of individuals that give to missions. I give to a mission in South Dakota. It's an Indian mission. We stopped there on our motorcycle trip. When we give to missions, our money goes so much further than what it would if we just kept it or gave it to our family. It reaches the kingdom in new ways that is beyond our imagination. That's one of the reasons why I have Denny Heidrich coming tonight. He's never been here. He's from the Baptist Children's Home and Family Service. He's coming tonight to share with us all that our money is doing through the Baptist Children's Home and Family Services. They reach hundreds of children's lives. And those lives are changed. And they're changed because of your giving. And we give to them monthly from this church. But not only that, we take up a Mother's Day offering, and Mother's Day is just a couple Sundays away. And that's why I wanted Denny Heidrich to come and just share with us all that God is doing through the Baptist Children's Home and Family Services. I believe that when we do that, we are investing in eternity. We are investing in eternity, and when we begin to invest in eternity, we will begin to live indelibly. We will be leaving a mark that is permanent, a mark that cannot be erased. Kathy and I were house parents at Milton Hershey School. We still stay in contact with many of our students. Kathy a lot more than me. I was the disciplinarian. She's the one that loved on them. But we still stay in contact with them. And the Baptist Children's Home does the same thing. Many of the children could actually testify and say, because of your generosity, because of your love, and your willingness to give, their lives have been changed. And so they are an indelible mark that's being left by this church, by you, the body of Jesus Christ. As our worship team comes this morning, I ask you, maybe you haven't been making the good and sound decisions that you need to. Maybe your finances have been out of sorts and unbalanced. Today, you can simply come and say, you know what, I need to rework my budget. Maybe you need to, I can meet with you and help you set up a budget instead of flying by the seat of your pants and paying the wheel that squeaks the most. Today you can come and you can pray and have this as a matter of prayer so that you can have balance in your life. Let's all stand. Maybe there's a need that you have in your life and you'd just like to come and pray about that. You come as we sing.